Hi everyone, this is Omkar from Edureka, and today I'll be speaking about different phases of ethical hacking. Well, if you're watching this video, I'm sure you want to learn hacking and become an ethical hacker. Well, if that's the case, it's a very good thing because ethical hacking is one of the most interesting jobs in the IT industry today. Did you know that there's a cyber attack every 39 seconds? So every 39 seconds, there's a cyber attack, and the victim of these cyber attacks range from startups to multi-billion dollar companies. So no organization, be it a startup or a multi-billion dollar company, would want their data to be leaked or their application to be misused. And that's where ethical hackers come to the rescue. So these organizations who think their system or network might get hacked hire ethical hackers, and these ethical hackers test their system or network for security loopholes or weaknesses that a malicious hacker can use and hack the target, and then work on improving the security of the target system or the network. If you're a beginner, I'm sure you have this question in your mind. The question would be how to become skillful enough to do this job. Well, I'm sure if you're a beginner and you've gone through a lot of blogs, a lot of videos, and you've learned some basics, and even if you have not, you've understood that hacking is not like how it's shown in the movies. It's not like you just open up your laptop, you fire up your laptop, you just type something in a system and you hack. That's not the case. Hacking is not that simple. So the question is, how do you become skillful enough for this job to actually hack something? And the only answer is by practice. So you need a lot of practice, and that's how you improve. That's how you become skillful. So when I started with ethical hacking, I used to practice by trying to hack my own network. And especially when I first started, I got nowhere. I basically got stuck in the first or the second step because I didn't know what to do. So when I tried to analyze what the reason could be, I realized that I wasn't following the right approach to hack the target. So ethical hacking is not a one-step process. It's not like you can just run some tool and hack the target. So if you want to hack a target successfully and efficiently, you will have to follow certain steps of ethical hacking. And that's why I've made this video, so that it will be helpful for beginners who are just starting with hacking, so that they get the basics right and not waste a lot of time with, you know, failures. So in this video, I'm going to be talking about different phases of ethical hacking. I'll be telling you about few tools that you can use for each phase. And also at the end of the phases of ethical hacking, I'll be talking about some of the great hacks that have happened till time. So first, let's look at the different phases of ethical hacking. These are the different phases. So the first one is the reconnaissance. And this is a basic step where, you know, collect information about your target. You get to know your target better. And then there is scanning, where you find out points on your target system or the network where you can start the hack from. Then there is exploitation. So as the word describes, or as the word tells, this is the phase where you actually hack your target. So if you've seen in the movies where, you know, a hacker with a hat, with a hoodie, and, you know, he types something and gets access of, you know, a system, then this is that phase where the hack actually happens. The next phase is maintaining access, where, you know, this is a post-exploitation phase where the hacker tries to maintain a connection with the target so that he can use the target later in time. The next phase is covering tracks, and this is the phase where the hacker hides his identity so that the target doesn't know, or nobody knows, who actually hacked the system. And finally, there's reporting. So this is the phase which differentiates a malicious hacker from an ethical hacker. And while I'm talking about reporting, I'll tell you how this differentiates a malicious hacker from an ethical hacker. So let's get started with the phases. So the first phase is reconnaissance. And also, I'll be explaining each phase of ethical hacking with the help of an analogy, so that it's easy for beginners to understand. Suppose you're a beginner, it's the first video you're watching on ethical hacking, or maybe you've watched a little videos and, you know, you don't have a lot of understanding of what ethical hacking is, then it'll be easy for you to understand. So let's start with the first phase. Firstly, I'll tell you what this analogy is. So the analogy goes something like this. Suppose there's an enemy lair at a location, and this enemy lair has got a lot of destructive weapons. And you are the army chief who's assigned to, you know, attack the enemy lair and take control of this. So my question to you is, if you were actually an army officer, you know, who's assigned to make a surgical strike, you've got a lot of forces, you've got the army, you've got tanks, you've got air force, all at your command. So would you just take all your forces and go attack? I don't think so. Yeah, because first you'll have to create a plan And before that, you'll have to understand the enemy lair. So you'll collect basic information such as the location of the lair, how to get to that location from the army base. You'll collect more information about the building, the number of floors, and the surroundings of the building. So similarly, when it comes to ethical hacking, you cannot just, you know, use tools or type something in your computer and just hack the target. So to hack the target, the first thing you have to do is understand the target. So this phase where you understand your target is reconnaissance. So reconnaissance is basically the phase where the ethical hacker collects information about the target so that it's easy for him to understand how to actually hack the target. So some of the basic information you would want to collect are: the first one would be the IP address of the target. Suppose you're trying to hack a particular system in a network, then you would want to know the IP address of the target because, you know, the IP address uniquely identifies the system in the network. The next thing you would want to know is the IP address range. Suppose there's an organization with, you know, hundreds of computers and you want to hack the whole network. You don't know which computer or which system has got the lowest security. So to check that, you would need the IP address range of the whole organization or the network. The next thing you would want to know is the network. You would want to know the architecture of the network. And finally, you would want to know about the DNS records. So these are very basic things, very basic information to collect about your target. And depending on what your target is, this information might vary. So now I'll be talking about some of the most popular tools used for reconnaissance. The first tool I'm going to talk about is search engine. So I'm sure you're familiar with Google, Yahoo, and, you know, Bing. So I'll give you an example, okay? Imagine yourself in this situation where you are an ethical hacker. You're the best in the city. There's no one else who can compete your skills of ethical hacking. And one day you're at your office and this guy, a CEO of a big organization, comes to you and he hands out the name of a website and he wants you to test for security loopholes or weaknesses on his website. And he just walks away. He doesn't speak a word. He's an introvert, you know. So at this point, you only know the name of the website. You have, you know, no idea of what this application is or what your target is. You only know the name of your website. So what would be the first thing you'd do? So the first thing you would want to do is use the name of the website into a search engine. So maybe Google the name of the website. There are different search engines you can use. There's Google, there's DuckDuckGo, there's Yahoo, there's Shodan, and a lot of search engines. So you just Google search or use whatever search engine you want to and then find information about your target. So the first thing you'd get is the URL of the target, the URL of the website, using which you can find out other information such as the IP address, the IP address range, and whatever information I told about in the previous slide. So this is the first thing you would do. The next tool you would use, which is one of the most popular tools for reconnaissance, is NSLookup. So NSLookup is a DNS querying tool and it's mainly used to get the domain name and the IP address map of your target. So suppose there's an organization, like maybe you want to, you know, collect information about the same website, then you would run NSLookup search on that and you'd collect information such as the domain name, the IP address map, the range, the IP address range, and such information. The next tool you can use is WhoisLookup. So WhoisLookup is a browser-based query and response tool, and it's mainly used to get the registration and delegation details of your target. So suppose your target application requires a login. So maybe the username is the email ID. And using WhoisLookup, you can find out who the website is registered to, the contact information, and many other information. So these information will play a vital role when you're actually trying to hack the application. So these are the most popular tools for reconnaissance. Moving forward to the next phase of ethical hacking. So the next phase is scanning. Now let's come back to the surgical strike example. You found out the location of the enemy lair. You know, you found out the way how you can go from the army base to the enemy lair. And you also found out about the surroundings. But is this information enough? You found the enemy lair, you found the building, but can you just go attack now? No, you need a strategy. You need a plan. And for this, the main thing you would require to know is which point of the building you can enter from. So basically you scan the whole building to see which points you can enter from and whether these points are blocked or are they open, because obviously there are enemies, they have got destructive weapons. So maybe a door is, you know, set up with a bomb, with an explosive. So you have to scan the building so that you can find a safe way to, you know, enter the building and attack. Similarly, when it comes to scanning in ethical hacking, you found out the IP address, the IP address range, and many information, but it's not enough. Now it's time to find out those points on your target which has got a weak security and where you can try to hack the target from. So this phase where you find the weak points on the target is scanning. So scanning is basically the phase where you find out points on the target system or the network from where the hacker can try to hack the target. So these are the weak points on your target that you can start the hack from. Some of the information you would want to collect during your scanning are, there's active ports and active hosts. So these are basically the ports and the hosts that are live and running on the system. So there's no point if there's an organization and there's a network of 100 computers and 10 computers out of the 100 computers are turned off. There's no point in finding out information about the 10 shutdown computers. If you want to hack the network, you would want to hack one of the target that's live and up and running. And that's why you would want to know about the active ports and the active hosts. Then you would want to know about the services being run on your target. So these services could be security services like firewall, intrusion detection, because obviously you wouldn't want your target to know that it's being hacked. So you'd want to be a little careful. So you'd find out services that are being run. And then you would want to collect information about the application and the operating system. So when I say vulnerable application and operating system, it means the application or the operating system that is being used by the target, which is unpatched or outdated. So most of the time when you are, you know, scanning your target, you find out application or operating system that are unpatched, which have got security loopholes. And you can use these weaknesses to hack your target. Now let's see which are the most popular tools used for scanning. The first one is OpenVAS. OpenVAS is an open source framework with several services and tools for vulnerability scanning and management. The next tool is Nikto. Nikto is a command line vulnerability scanner, and this tool scans web servers for dangerous files, CGIs, and outdated services. So like I previously told, while finding out information about the vulnerable application or operating system, that if you find outdated services or unpatched services, there's a high chance that you can find out weaknesses on your target. So Nikto is a one-size tool that will give you information about these outdated services. The next tool I'm going to talk about is Wireshark. Wireshark is a tool especially used for wireless networks. Suppose there's a Wi-Fi network and you want to, you know, scan this network, then you can use Wireshark. And this is an open source packet analyzer and gives a lot of information about the wireless network. The next tool and my most favorite tool is Nessus. Nessus is a very powerful tool that provides high performance data capture. And the reason I like Nessus is it provides various types of scans. So depending on what information you want about the target or what type of target is, you know, your system or the network, you can select different scans. So each scan will give you different results using which you can hack the target. So these are some of the most popular tools used for scanning. So moving on to the next phase, that is exploitation. So now you've collected enough information about your target, your plan's ready, you know where to enter the building from, you know how to attack, it's time to attack. So now you call your force, your tanks, your army, and then lead the attack and then gain control of the enemy lair. Similarly, when it comes to ethical hacking, you use different exploitation tools because your tools are like your force, like your army, and you use these exploitation tools to hack the target. So this is the phase where the hack actually happens. So exploitation is a phase where the hacker takes advantage of the weakness and loopholes found on the target system or the network and then runs appropriate tools to hack the target. So there are different steps for, you know, using exploitation. The first thing is selecting the right attack. So not every attack is applicable to every target. So depending on how your target is, depending on what weaknesses you found on the target, you'll have to select the appropriate attack. Then you will have to launch the attack on your target. And finally, you will gain access of your target. So some of the most popular tools used for exploitation are, the first one is Beef. Beef is a tool mainly used for penetration testing, and it's a tool that leverages, you know, browser vulnerabilities. The next tool is one of my most favorite, and this is the tool that I mostly use. It's Metasploit. It's one of the most popular exploitation tools, and this tool has got hundreds of scripts to hack. The next tool I'm going to talk about is SQL Map. SQL Map is a tool that automates detection and exploitation of SQL injection flaws. So I'm sure if you're a beginner, you don't know what SQL injection is, but stay tuned, you'll be learning about SQL injection and a lot of different hacking methods in the coming up videos. So this tool is mainly used to take over database servers. Moving on to the next phase, it is maintaining access. So now the surgical strike is done. Will you just leave from the enemy lair? No, you wouldn't. Now you would take actions to maintain, you know, the control over the enemy lair. Because you wouldn't want your enemies to occupy the lair again and then store destructive weapons. Because if they did, if you just left and the enemies came back, you would have to carry out another surgical strike to gain control over your enemy lair. So this is maintaining access when it comes to surgical strike. So when it comes to maintaining access in ethical hacking, the hacker maintains, you know, a connection between the target so that if he wants to use a target later in time, he doesn't have to, you know, start the attack right from the scratch. He just directly accesses the target. So this phase is maintaining access. So maintaining access is a phase where the hacker installs softwares or makes changes on the target system after the target has been hacked so that he can access the target later in time directly without having to, you know, hack the target right from the scratch. So some of the ways are doing this are, there are different ways, but I've listed down, you know, some of the most efficient or the most popular ways. So the first one is installing backdoors. So backdoors are basically used to bypass login or authentication. Then the next way is creating new users. Suppose your target requires you to log in to do something on your target. Then you would create a new user with a new username and password. And later in time, when you want to access the target, you would use this username and password to log into your target. Another thing you can do is escalate the privileges. Suppose you want to run certain system commands on your target or certain system services on your target. And to run these system services, you need super user privileges. Then what you would do is make a normal user a super user and then use this user to run system services on your target. The next thing you can do is install rootkits. Rootkits are softwares used to enable access on your target. And finally, you can use Trojans. So let's see which are some of the most popular tools used for maintaining access. The first tool is PowerSploit. PowerSploit is a tool mainly used for Windows operating system. And this tool is used to connect to the victim's PowerShell. So if you've used the Windows operating system, you should know that, you know, a PowerShell is a place where you can run system commands from. So when you're a hacker and you hack a Windows operating system and you want to do something on that system, maybe, you know, delete the files, copy the files or run any services, which actually you shouldn't do. You shouldn't be, you know, deleting the files or anything because you're on the track of being an ethical hacker. But I'm just telling you, for example, if you want to do any such thing, then having access to the victim's PowerShell will be really useful. The next tool I'm going to talk about is Weebly. Weebly is a PHP web shell that can be used to install stealth backdoors or to manage web accounts. And then you can use DNS to TCP. DNS to TCP is a network tool that relays TCP connections through DNS traffic. You probably don't understand a lot when I'm trying to explain about these tools, but you know, given time when you're learning, maybe watching the next videos, I'm sure you'll understand all these topics. So for now, just know about these tools and yeah, that's all. So let's move on to the next phase, that is covering tracks. So you're done with the surgical strike and you've got control over the enemy lair. So the main thing you would want to do is keep your strategy, your plan confidential, because you wouldn't want the enemies or any unauthorized person to know what your strategy, your plan or any information about your surgical strike. So you erase all the details regarding this. But when it comes to ethical hacking, it's a little different. A hacker erases all the details, all the information regarding his identity and also how he carried out the exploit, so that the target doesn't know that someone has hacked the target first of all. And if at all he knows that his system was hacked, then he shouldn't be able to trace back who this hacker was. So covering tracks is a phase where the hacker hides his identity and also the way the exploit has happened. So he wouldn't want the target to know how he was hacked. There are different ways of doing this. Some of the most common ways are clearing the cache and cookies. Then you would want to tamper the log files. Suppose, like I told you in, one of the slides, if your target requires you to log in using a username and password, and you've done that, you've logged in using a username and password, then you would want to delete these log files so that the target doesn't know that some other user had logged into his system. Then you can close the ports that you might have started or stop the services that you might have started in order to install backdoors, rootkits, or whatever purpose you did it for. So this is covering tracks. And the final phase of ethical hacking is reporting. Now you're done with the surgical strike. You've cleared all the evidence, all the clues, all the information. And now you have to inform your higher officer on what actually happened. So you'd inform him how you found the lair, what was your strategy, what was your plan, what weaknesses you found on the enemy lair, and how did you actually gain control of the enemy lair. So you create a documentation of it. Similarly, when it comes to ethical hacking, instead of reporting to your higher officer, you report to the target organization. You tell them what weaknesses you found on the target, which weaknesses the target was vulnerable for, and which attacks you used to hack the target. So reporting is basically a phase where the hacker creates documentation of the weaknesses and loopholes found on the target, the way he used these weaknesses and loopholes to hack the target, and also mentions certain precautions that the target can take to make the security better. So like I told you earlier, this is the phase that differentiates a malicious hacker from an ethical hacker. I'll tell you why now, because as an ethical hacker, you know what you should do. You should tell the target organization about the information found, the way you hacked the target, and also tell them how they can make the security better. But a malicious hacker wouldn't do this. A malicious hacker would hack the target, would hide his identity, and whatever purpose he hacked the target for, he'd just do it and, vanish. So this is the phase that differentiates a malicious hacker from an ethical hacker. So these are the six phases of ethical hacking. So if you want to hack a target successfully and efficiently, I suggest you follow these steps. And maybe while you're practicing, you think reporting is not really that important because you have your own target, you're trying to hack it, you hack it successfully. You might think, why should I create a report for this? But let me tell you, make a habit of creating reports right from the beginning so that when you actually are working for an organization, it's pretty simple. You know what details to include. And it'll be very helpful. So, don't take any of these phases lightly. Practice each phase, with dedication. Now, let me tell you about some of the great hacks that have happened over time. I made a list of 4 hacks. I know there are hundreds of great hacks that have happened, but I've made a list of 4 hacks just to give you the idea of how powerful a hacker can be. So the first hack I'm going to talk about is the FBI hack. So in 2016, the entire database of FBI was hacked and the identities of all undercover FBI and Homeland Security agents was made public, due to which a lot of lives were in danger. The next hack is the NASA hack. A hacker hacked into NASA and downloaded the source code used to run the International Space Station. And to fix this issue, NASA had to shut down its network for 3 weeks. So just imagine how powerful you'd be if you have the source code to run the International Space Station on your system. So this is how powerful you can be as a hacker. But you can only do this when you've got enough skills. Let's move on to the next hack, that is the commercial sites hack. A student of a university launched a DOS attack with 70 plus computers on 50 plus networks, which affected a lot of commercial websites such as eBay, Amazon, etc. Due to which these commercial sites face a lot of business loss. And the final hack I'm going to talk about in this session is the Noble hack. So a hacker hacked into different banks around the world and then stole money from these banks, and instead of using it for his own self, he donated this money to the countries living below the poverty line. So his intention was noble, and that's why I've named this the Noble hack. Though his intention was noble, what he did was illegal. And all of these hacks, the 4 hacks I spoke about, was just to give you an idea of how powerful you can be. But all of these hacks were made for illegal purpose. As an ethical hacker, you should not be involved in any such illegal activities because that's not what ethical hackers do. As an ethical hacker, you should always contribute to make the security of the system, the network, basically any digital, appliance or digital device, the security of these digital devices better. That's all for this session. If you like this video, like and share, and stay tuned for more videos on ethical hacking. In the further videos, I'll be explaining you different methods of hacking and how to hack, a certain target using these hacking techniques. Until next time then, thank you and bye-bye.
I hope you have enjoyed listening to this video. Please be kind enough to like it, and you can comment any of your doubts and queries, and we will reply them at the earliest. Do look out for more videos in our playlist and subscribe to EduRekha channel to learn more. Happy learning!